I'm Pastor Ben Wingard of the Albany Presbyterian Church, and we're glad you're joining us on the internet for this Sunday sermon. We encourage you to check out the links on the website for some different hymns to use for your family in worship this Sunday. For the next two Sundays, including today, we'll finish our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and then we'll have Easter Sunday. Then the Sunday after Easter, we'll begin a new focus on prayer. This will include a sermon series from the Lord's Prayer in depth. This will also include a Bible study that will be emailed to you or given by hard copy. That's all on the website as well. This study will match up with the series on prayer. There also will be weekly email devotionals emailed to you that have emails starting in a few weeks about prayer on the site as well. For our members who are unable to listen on the internet, we're making CDs available and video perhaps in the future. Our goal is to unite together in prayer during this time, growing in our relationship with God and each other, being reminded that we are His church even while we're apart. Our goal is to communicate by phone, visit as possible, and look forward to the day that we can come back together physically. 1 Peter 4 calls us to use the gifts God gives us for His glory. So if you give, we encourage you to continue to do that through direct deposit as possible. And if you can't do that way, then let us know. All of this information will be on the website as well. Psalm 34 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit." 2 Corinthians 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's turn to the Lord in a time of prayer. Gracious Father, we ask for your strength and blessing in this time of worship and hearing your word. These are difficult times, Lord, but your word reminds us you are faithful. You're a God who is close to the brokenhearted. You tell us to come to you and to cast all of our cares on you, for you care deeply for us. We ask for your word to uphold us and strengthen us, Lord, as we look to it now, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to read first of all from an Old Testament text, Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9, that we'll refer to as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. Isaiah 42, 1 to 9, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles there at this time. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. And thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth, that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And then the preaching text is from Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on His Word. We come before You today asking for Your grace, Lord, as we look to Your Word, that You'll use Your Word as it goes forth in the lives of Your people in Albany Presbyterian Church, but others who may listen now as well, that they'll be strengthened in their faith, and that those perhaps who have not trusted in Jesus will come to know what it means to follow Him and trust in Him alone for salvation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at Galatians 5, 22 to 23. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness, today. And we've been in this series in Galatians in the well-known section of the fruit of the Spirit. And of course, as we've said numerous times, it's one thing to recite these fruit, but it's a whole other thing to really know them and experience them in your life. And we know that it's like a fruit tree. The life and the fruit in that comes on that tree comes from within. And so is it true with us as the Holy Spirit works in our life. It is something He produces in us as we become more like Jesus Christ in our character, in our hearts, and in our actions as well. And the Lord alone produces that fruit in us. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have any part in that, because we're called to cooperate with the Lord in His work as we look to His Word and as we trust Him and come to Him in prayer and as we serve Him. The Holy Spirit will work in us and produce this fruit of the Spirit. We saw the first fruit a way back as we began the series. Love is the central fruit, and all the other fruit are tied to that fruit and flow from that fruit. And of course, we know the famous verse, we love others because He so loved us. And so that's that grace of a personal relationship with God. As we grow with Him and know that assurance we have in Jesus Christ, out of that is a growing love for others, and we're focused more on what the gospel can do in our lives and other people's lives. So love is an other-centered, focused kind of love, not like the world. And then there's the perspective we have, and that's joy. It's not an up-and-down happiness. It's not based on our moods or what's going on. It's based on the love we have in Christ, and we have this virtue of perspective and knowing that God's with us, knowing where He's taking things, and our joy is deep-rooted. And then we have peace with God. We said, if you have peace with God, then you experience the peace of God, that we're right with God and we walk with God and we have that assurance. Then we talked about patience, dealing with problems and people, enduring over the long run with the weaknesses of people and the trials of this world. And then we talked about kindness, that fruit, which is love's readiness to enhance the life of somebody else, that practical help, that practical love, which is kindness. And then goodness, we looked at a few weeks ago, growing to do the right thing because it's the right thing. Only God is good, but as we grow in Christ, we become more like Him. And so there's a goodness that flows through our lives. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And then we talked about faithfulness last week. Faithfulness, of course, is this trustworthiness that impacts other people's lives. As we look to the God who alone is faithful, then we grow to be faithful over time. Well, what about this one that we're looking at today, this ninth fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness, meekness, and humility? Each of those words tie into this one word of gentleness, this fruit. Now, the culture in Bible times and today tended to think of meekness how? Humility as a weak thing, gentleness or meekness, a weak idea. In Rome and Greece, into which Paul wrote, gentleness or humility was seen as either a neutral or a negative thing. And it's much the same today. Weakness or meekness rhymes with weakness. For those around us today, meekness or humility and the resulting gentle spirit is often seen as an unmanly thing, especially for guys, you know. It doesn't fit with the macho mentality, you know. People think of a gentle person, a meek person, as a wimpy kind of person. You know, it's like the wife who said to her husband, who was kind of wimpy, he said, "Are you a man?" she said, "Or are you a mouse?" She said, "Would you squeak up?" The mindset of today is to make sure you let others know what you can do, you know. Real men are strong, and people know they're strong, and they let others see it. They're not meek, the world says. We see it in movies today, don't we? The media, good guys flexing their muscles, and gentle people getting trampled on. I mean, that's the way gentleness is looked at. I mean, who would want that? The mindset becomes you don't just defeat your foe, you destroy them. You run the score up on them in sports. The mindset is you promote yourself in the world, you let others know what you're worth. If you've got it, you flaunt it. We might not say it that way, but it's the idea. Muhammad Ali, the boxer, once joked, "At home, I'm a nice guy, but I don't want the world to know that. Humble people, I found, don't get very far." And he's right sometimes in the world, but God flips all of this on its head. As Jesus said, the least are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, that he came to serve, not to be served. And servants are the greatest in God's kingdom. God measures greatness not by who dominates with power and overwhelming people, no, but the quiet strength that comes from walking with him, that is humility and meekness and resulting gentleness towards those that we serve. Think of Jesus as we come to Easter, washing the disciples' feet. He said, "If I, your master, do this for you, you must serve like this towards others." The Greek word protes for humility or meekness here describes a Christian who has great strength, power that is under the control of the Spirit. The Greek word literally means strength under control. It was used in those days to picture a wild stallion that had been tamed and broken. And now that tamed horse had as much power as before, but it could now be used and controlled and made useful by its master. You see, to be gentle or meek doesn't mean you're a weak or a wimp. It's about strength that's being channeled and under God's control as we're yielded to the Spirit, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ and used for his perfect purposes. You see, it's impossible to live the Christian life without this character trait, gentleness, meekness. Because only the gentle believer will be able to really love the way God wants us to, others, and show kindness. Only this gentle believer who is under God's control can really grow in self-control. The word actually combines the idea of gentleness and strength. And one man said, towards God, this gentleness or meekness is a submissive, teachable, pliable spirit towards God. Towards others, it indicates humility and patience and forbearance. It means humble submission to God and humble consideration of other people. In the 1930s, three young men boarded a bus and attempted to pick a fight with a passenger in the back. And they threw one insult on this man after the other, but he'd say nothing back in retaliation. And eventually the bus stopped. This man they were picking on stood up, pulled out a business card from his pocket. Before he got off, he handed it to them, and then they read it. It said, "Joe Lewis, boxer." They had tried to pick a fight with the future heavyweight champion of the world at the time, but Lewis showed true meekness and humility, which is power under control. Meekness is more, if you break up these words, meekness is more of a passive trait, picturing the right Christian response when others mistreat us, restraint. Gentleness is more of the active trait, picturing the manner in which we should treat other people with love and loving actions. I like the story of this man. He was treated rudely by a man at the store, and he responded, "Have a great weekend." And his friend saw this. He had seen the man treat his friend bad before, and he said, "Why do you always treat him so nice?" He said, do you always do that?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Why?" And he said, the man told him, he said, "Because he's not going to determine how I act." Gentleness is like kindness in that it results in love. It's like patience in that it involves restraint when others attack. But it's more about this inner attitude we have towards others because of our understanding of who God is, who we are as sinners in need of grace, and therefore how others are in need of God's mercy and grace. Patience is the ability to endure hostility without anger, but gentleness is the ability to endure it without aggression. Gentleness is seen in our lives as we learn to respond to rejection, quarrels, harsh words, not with self-defense or harsh words ourselves, but with softness, controlling our tongues and tempers. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh one stirs it up." Gentleness involves a growing awareness that others have feeling and pain like us. Sin has affected their lives, and it's only by the grace of God and gentleness that their lives will be healed. It means we grow to realize that even though people are nasty in what they're doing, with what they say, they're just as hurt as we are by what's going on and what we're dealing with. Meekness means we grow in this awareness of our own sin and need for grace, and their sin and hurt and need for grace. And we know that reacting back with selfishness only will hurt them more, won't help the situation. Sanderson said, these are not signs of weaknesses. Gentleness is a strong, powerful weapon in God's hands to do His will. He said, they require courage on our part, great faith that God will use them. But the fact is, he said, sin bruises the human spirit of people out there so much that such a tender treatment is required if those spirits will be made whole again. And that's what God does through His gospel in us. Wouldn't you agree, in these days of coldness and trial and even hatred, it's especially true and important for us as Christians to grow in gentleness. Gentleness is seen in the way we would handle our fragile china at home, a fragile box by the mailman in the post, knowing that a human personality is valuable, but fragile, broken by sin. Billy Graham said that gentleness is mildness in dealing with others. It displays a sensitive regard for the feelings and rights of other people. The gentle response doesn't always mean we say nothing, no. It can be a strong and clear challenge, but it's always under God's control and love and sensitivity, based on the awareness of our own need for grace, our sin, their sin, and what God can do. The more we grow in meekness and humility before God, the more sensitive and gentle we'll be with others around us as we understand their brokenness from sin and we want to show Christ's love to them. Wouldn't you agree that while we always need to grow in gentleness as Christians, right now is a time when we need great doses of meekness and gentleness? Bethune said, no grace is less prayed for and cultivated than gentleness. Gentleness, now it differs from self-control. It seems like self-control, but the difference is, while self-control is more focused on our external control of our behavior, meekness is more focused on what is necessary before that, the internal control God has of our hearts by His grace. Gentleness, meekness is something we're to pursue as Christians, to put on. Colossians 3:12 says, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So as we seek to cooperate with the Spirit's work within and through us as Christians, how do we grow in this Christ-like character quality of meekness, gentleness? Well, number one thing is come to Jesus. Our human tendency is to react back. Wouldn't you agree? To react back at people because of their sin when they hurt us. Our tendency is to react harshly when they fall into sin. To come on them like a hammer instead of loving them with the gentleness of Jesus. Our tendency is to be inconsiderate of people's feelings and overlook that they've had a hard time just like you. Our tendency is to look down on people in our pride, to feel superior to those around us, instead of realizing their sin and our need for grace and their need for grace. As with all these spiritual fruits, the fact is we are not naturally like Jesus. No, we're not naturally meek and humble and gentle. No, just the opposite. When someone hurts us, it's easy to react, isn't it, than to respond in gentleness and love. But Jesus produces that ability in us to handle it without retaliating, even to act in gentleness, to absorb the blow, as He said, to turn the other cheek. Is that easy to do? No, it's impossible to do except by Jesus living in and through us as we come to Him regularly. Matthew 28, what we read, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, Hendrickson, this commentator, translates this word gentle as restful. The idea would be, come to me and I will rest you, for I am restful, and you'll find rest for yourselves. Now, the point in context is that the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, they were heaping extra things in addition to God's law on God's people. They misunderstood the purpose of God's law, and they were anything but humble and gentle like Jesus to the people. Jesus was different, of course. He didn't come to do away with God's law, but to fulfill it, to take our condemnation for not following it, and so that through grace by faith we'd be forgiven and transformed as we come and trust in Him and come to Him and walk with Him who is gentle and humble in heart. Someone said we really need to see Jesus as the true embodiment of what the law really aimed at. A loving, faithful, compassionate, obedient relationship to God. Jesus comes to give us that. We live in that as we take His yoke, the yoke of Him who is gentle on ourselves. Come to Him, Jesus says. You'll find rest. And in that rest in Him, you'll be rested and restful. And His presence, the fruit of His Spirit working in and through you, will produce the grace of gentleness towards others. Through that meekness and humility and submission to Him, resting in Him who is gentle, we'll grow to be at rest. And others will grow to be more at rest and ease among us because Jesus' gentleness is working through us. As we humble ourselves before Christ regularly and come to Him, He'll make us more humble and gentle in heart over time. He'll deal with our pride. He'll make us more aware of what God sees, He sees, in us and in other people. We'll see it more His way. We'll grow to see people Jesus the way Jesus does, seeing their sin, seeing their pain, how sin has mangled their lives. Jesus, remember, He was the one who looked out on the crowds and had compassion because they didn't have a shepherd. They were lost. It's only as we come to Jesus and find our rest in Him alone that we'll grow to be those who are meek and humble and gentle towards those hurting in their sin. Often, folks, we're not gentle the way we think we would be because we're not meek. And that's because we're full of pride. We're unable then to look with sympathy on people's sin and frailty. We're not able to see in the weakness of others our own weaknesses. All we can see is how they did wrong. We look down on them and say, they made their bed, now they need to lie in it. And out of that just flows aggression, not gentleness. But Jesus doesn't come to us or ever deal with us that way. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:1, I come to you pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Jesus. He said, I'm not going to deal with you some other way, but like Jesus would, appealing to you, not demanding and crushing you, but in the gentleness and meekness of Jesus. Psalm 18 says that God stoops down to make us great. He comes down to where we are to lift us up. That's the gentleness of God. God continually comes in gentleness in our lives as believers, so that we'll be transformed to become like Him and show that gentleness in the lives of others around us. Matthew 12 is a passage that quotes Isaiah 42 that we read earlier about the Messiah, that the Savior, He's saying, doesn't deal with those who are broken in sin and bruised up by sin, whose flame is about to go out with a heavy hand. No, He deals with us gently until we open up, we see our sin, we see our pain and our need, we come to God for help. He woos us, He draws us, and this is how God works through Christ, and then He wants to work through us in people's lives with gentleness. Isaiah 42, it says, He will not cry out, God, nor raise His voice, the Savior, because His voice will be heard in the street. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoking flax He will not quench. In the context of Matthew 12, Jesus is refusing here to show off in pride and be popular because of His power, because He knows the purpose the Father has for Him in the world. And Isaiah is using two figures of speech here. The cracked, half-broken reed. It's a picture of how easily people are shattered in the harsh treatment of this sinful world. And then also the flickering, almost extinguished wick. A sudden movement will quench this candle. It's a picture of the hurt that sin brings in this world. How God views people in their sin and hurt. The bruised reed and fading wick refer to people that are hurting spiritually. It may be weak of faith Christians. It could be non-Christians. Johnson said about this, Jesus treats with gentleness the weak of faith, the struggling and discouraged, encouraging them, helping them, strengthening them. It's what God wants to then use us to do, folks. Meekness is not weakness. Jesus is perfectly powerful and perfectly meek. And his meekness is a perfect awareness of his power for his purposes to use not to overwhelm, but to care, to lead people to salvation, to build people up in Jesus Christ. That's meekness. Power under control. This meekness is the quiet awareness Jesus had of who he is, the power he had at his disposal, one man said, for the accomplishments of his ends. His awareness of his power enables him to be gentle to those in need. He'll not quench that flickering light. That flame is safe in his hands, those that come to him. He will not break that reed that has already cracked. And he wants to work through us so that people come to know his love and grace in Christ as we grow in gentleness. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near. Bridges, this man, he said, the Lord is standing at your shoulder waiting to see how you will handle your relationships. Come to Jesus and remember the Lord is near. He's gentle and meek in our lives, and he wants to show that gentleness through our lives. And that leads me to the second application here. Not only come to Jesus, but clarify your identity. There's a CEO of a Fortune 500 company that pulled into a fuel station with his wife. And he went inside to pay, and he noticed his wife talking to the service station attendant when he was gone. And he turned out when he came back that she knew him in high school and even dated this man years ago. Well, they got in the car, and this man was feeling pretty good about himself. And then he piped up and he said, kind of dumbly, I bet I know what you're thinking. I bet you're thinking you're glad you married me, a CEO of a company, not that man. She said, no, what I was thinking was, if I'd married him, he'd be the CEO, and you'd be a service station attendant. We get humble sometimes, don't we, in life. We need to know our place. Wright says, where does this kind of gentleness flow from? Well, obviously, he said, it's from fruit of the Spirit. It's a character trait of Jesus. But in practical day-to-day terms, the deepest root, the core idea of where this gentleness comes from is genuine humility. We won't become more gentle if we're not growing in humility. This means a deep awareness that I'm just as human and flawed and tempted as anybody else. That's where gentleness comes from. This means I have no reason to feel superior and get aggressive when people show their flaws. Not when we know our own hearts. Come to Jesus, but then clarify your identity as a sinner in need of God's continual grace. Humility like this is at the heart of growing in true meekness and resulting gentleness towards others. The goal is that we become more Christ-like so that we'll respond with grace when others fail in sin. So that when someone, for example, breaks their promise, they mess up in your family or church, we're not losing our temper, shouting at them, we're not putting them down, we're not attacking them. We're reminded that it could have just as easily been us, and it often is. The Spirit produces this, helps us to think, how would I want others to respond to me when I fail, because I have and I will. It's pride that blocks gentleness towards others, because in our pride we think, well, I would have handled that better. We get puffed up. We think, well, I wouldn't have fallen into that type of struggle or sin. I wouldn't have acted that way. And so without seeing it the right way. God's view, seeing our sin, being humble and meek. We're not meek, and then we're not gentle. We don't have compassion. It blocks the compassion and gentleness from flowing. There's no gentleness in our approach then. We react harshly. Romans 12 says, associate with the lowly. But if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in self-righteousness. Caught up in our own, what we think is spiritual success. We'll be looking down on others. We've got such a high opinion of ourselves and our spirituality that what we do and our responses and reactions flow from arrogance, not humility, not meekness, and not gentleness. That's why we don't grow in gentleness many times, is because we think we are more than we really are. See, part of the work of the Spirit producing this fruit in us of meekness and gentleness with others is helping us to see who we really are. We're sinners in continual need of God's gentleness and grace. The Spirit helps us see us as we are and others as they are. Like Paul, he said, I know there's nothing good that dwells in me, Romans 7. And we looked at that fruit of goodness, didn't we, a couple weeks ago. There's no one good except God, but God in His grace produces goodness in us. And that's how it's connected with faithfulness and gentleness, because as we continue to know that good coming from God alone, over time we trust God, we walk in faithfulness, and then we realize that goodness is coming from Him alone. That's what causes us to be gentle. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, and what do you have that you didn't receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Paul said, by the grace of God I am what I am. He said, I'm the chief of all sinners. 1 Timothy 1. One of the things we must do is ask the Spirit to make us aware of specific situations where we're not acting with gentleness towards those around us. Because when we identify that and see it, then we're moved to prayer to ask for God's grace so that we'll be more gentle. It humbles us. What is gentleness? What is it made up of? Where does it come from? It flows from meekness and humility, which is not thinking terribly of yourself. Oh, I'm terrible, can do nothing. No, it's seeing yourself as you really are. As God sees you, as God sees others, it's humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, as Lewis once said. Philip Brooks said, the way to be humble is not to stoop until you're smaller than yourself, but to stand at your true height next to Jesus. That's where humility and then meekness and gentleness comes from. The actor Kevin Bacon's son once asked him about all the stunts that were in his movies. And Bacon, the actor, said, well, no, son, I don't do that stunt, and I don't do that stunt or that stunt. And the son finally said, well, what do you do, Dad? And Bacon said, I get all the glory. The question is, when it comes to humility, is this. Do you want God to get all the glory? Are you focused on His strength? Or are you focused more on your honor and glory? Remember, gentleness flows from the strength God has given us in Christ. It's not beating ourselves down. It's not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of God more. It's not about our strength. It's about His strength working through us. And that flows through a clear understanding of our identity in Jesus Christ. And what is that identity? It's the truth that we're sinners who are made of the dust of the earth, saved by grace. James says our life is like a mist, here today, gone tomorrow. Spurgeon tells of a man who called himself thy dust. And in his prayer, he said, my children are thy dust, dust. Might be pushing a bit, but it's true. But also the reality is that Christians are God's saved children. We're saved by grace. We've been given such great grace and gifts to serve Him. It's God's strength working in us under His control that is the power to love and to be gentle. I like the story of a young pastor who preached his heart out one Sunday to the praise of his little congregation. And an older woman shook his hand at the door and told him how great the message was. He said, man, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. And she piped up and said, I didn't say it was that good. Johnson said, "How can we imagine ourselves superior to the rest? Our exceptional intelligence, strength, beauty, wisdom are all merely superiorly arranged dust, and God did the arranging." Romans 12 said, "We don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but we have a sane estimate." This is how the Spirit produces humility. The right mindset of ourselves, that we're sinners saved by grace, given all we have by grace, dependent continually on that grace, so that we're meek under the control of the Spirit, looking at others more like Christ does, with the goal of using God's strength in us to minister to them, to not respond in kind, to not look down on them in their sin, but to see their needs, knowing God's grace to us continually, so we'll then show that gentleness and that grace to others. Galatians 6 said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." The point is that as the Spirit works in us as Christians, instead of looking down on people in pride, with prideful eyes, logs in our eyes, like Jesus said, instead of looking down at people we think are less moral, we'll see those people as those hurting and mangled by sin, just like we were and we continue to struggle with. We who are spiritual will see in their weaknesses our potential for weakness, and so we're meek. This is how gentleness connects with faithfulness. Showing God's love is a process over time, and gentleness is needed to be faithful to other people over time. Meekness flows from our seeing our weaknesses more and more, and then God gives us insight. The Spirit shows us the weaknesses and sin in other people's lives, and so we're meek, we're controlled, we want to help and not harm them. And we see that what people do to themselves in sin is opposing themselves, attacking themselves. They're trapped in sin. We see it differently as we humble ourselves before the Lord. When we see others in our pride with our own eyes spiritually, we get prideful and we get aggressive. We look at them as obstacles in our way. We're looking down on them. We're not united with them. And we'll do things to hurt them in what we say about them, our rudeness, our aggression. But as we look to Christ, humble ourselves before Him, we become more meek and then more gentle as we're humbled. If we don't see our weakness, we won't grow in meekness. If you don't grow to see your weaknesses, you and I will not grow in meekness. We'll not show gentleness for sure and be able to help and restore others and point people to Jesus. What's worse, we'll fall into temptation and pride and our own sin, Galatians 6 says. So when you feel tempted to judge others, pause. Remember how much God has loved you and His forgiveness of you, His gentleness to you. This will transform us. Then we become more gentle through that humility, that meekness, that restraint, and then the response of gentleness to others. We won't rub in their sin. We'll, by God's grace, be used to rub out their sin, helping them to turn to Christ, loving them and doing what can really help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus our Savior. Gentleness flows from humility, resulting in meekness and restraint, and then responding in true gentleness with acts of love and kindness. Third thing, not only come to Jesus, not only clarify our true identity, but commit to your calling in Christ. If you want to grow in true gentleness, humility is at the heart of meekness, we said, right? And resulting gentleness, and the fact is the Spirit brings this about through the trials of this world. We have to remember that. We got to be committed to our calling. We see this in example after example with Christians, like believers like David and Moses, who were less than ideal in their situations. They had to serve in humble ways because they were following the Lord's calling. The Bible is clear that at the heart of our calling for Christ is serving Him in whatever way He calls us to in this life, because we know that those who trust in Him and live for Him now will be blessed with greater rewards in the end. Johnson said, "When I know the banquet is coming in heaven, I can forego the snacks here on earth." I like that. Matthew 5:5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The fact is, those who are meek and humble like Christ in this life make up the type of person that will make up heaven in the end. And that's why when the disciples, they were fighting over once, who's the greatest? And what did Jesus do? He brought a little child before them. Someone said, when we truly see ourselves rightly, there are no limits to what we'll do to help others. True greatness is meekness, to be concerned with the needs of even a little child. Jesus told them in that time, if you won't become like this child, if you're not willing to serve the least of these now, how will you serve in heaven then? Meekness is not weakness. No, it's God's strength working in us under control. His love at work through us for His purposes, serving the least of these. This is what the fruit of the Spirit produces in us, so that we realize what God can do through His grace to others, and we realize more and more there's no service that's too low for us to do as we serve the Lord. We live for Him. There's no job too menial. Our life is not our own. And so the world says, grab at this, show yourself, show off, push for your way, trample others to get to the top. But God reminds us the meek who trust Christ and live for Him will inherit the earth. So we look to His cross to remember that. And finally, as we close, concentrate on the practical. Once Pastor Harry Ironsides was struggling with humility, and his friend told him to put this sign of the gospel verses on it and walk around Chicago for the whole day. And he did this humiliating thing, he thought, and he caught himself thinking, you know, there's not another Christian in this city that would do a thing like that. That's the deceptiveness of meekness and humility. Let me ask you as we close, are we teachable? This is humility with God when it gets down to the practical. A great musician, Pablo Casals, played for the Queen many years ago when he was 22, and at the age of 96, he was still practicing 3 hours a day. They asked him why, and he said, "I'm beginning to notice some improvement." Are we teachable? Are we learning from God's Word? Because it's our meekness before God, wanting to hear His Word and grow in Him, that will transform us in meekness towards others and gentleness towards others. So are we yielding to the Spirit, allowing Him to teach us? And then secondly, are we correctable? There's humility also towards other people, not just God. So are we learning to listen to correction when God gives wisdom through others, or do we always get defensive? This is at the heart of how we grow as we take correction. As we're humble before God, humble before others, God's Spirit produces gentleness, humility, meekness, and gentleness, and He'll use it, His strength under control, to impact the world. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come before You. Thank You for Your Word. May it strengthen us and uphold us. And may You use it as it goes forth for Your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you all for listening to this recording of worship and the sermon at Albany Presbyterian Church. And God's blessing to you this week.